The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning and welcome to At Home at the Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm sitting in a recliner today.
You are low riding.
You were too tough for this laid-back chair.
You look laid back.
Feel great.
You got to pull that mic back a little bit.
Pull the mic back?
So we can get down there to you.
Come on, dog. That's what I've been hearing that my whole life. We're going to get down there to you, Shorty.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Goodness
gracious. Maybe they were hoping you'd come up to them.
I think I did stunning. I did some stunt tricks when I was about 15, 16, 17, 18.
Just get up on them tippy toes. You'd be good to
know.
Go.
I definitely take a lot of pictures on my tippy toes. That's our little secret. Don't tell anybody. I don't want people knowing why I look like I'm 5'10 and a half in my pictures instead of 5'9 and a half. Get that extra inch.
You get a couple of tall
All
dudes.
My golf pictures, I'm like, just,
I know.
I tell the caddies and the stuff, the people that take pictures, I'm like, just start at the knees for my pictures.
No feet in the pic.
Why is his leg so long? He's got high waist. But I never knew that. I never had, I'm a simple guy. It never crossed my mind that people had different proportions. Humans had different proportions of legs relative to torso or chest, upper body.
Have you seen Michael Phelps?
Well, hold on. This is before Michael Phelps ever entered my vocabulary.
My man's all upper body.
Yeah, and Reagan has a proportionally large torso to a human.
She knows you're talking about her.
She's calling me right now. Oh, my gosh. She's looking at me. Hey,
you
baby, I love you.
You are
so sweet. I'm telling you. And now I know why she has that athletic advantage. So now when she beats me, it doesn't even hurt my feelings.
Just depends. Depends what's what. Like, if you're a sprinter, you want to have long legs, right? And a short torso.
I hadn't thought that far into it,
Patrick. Mind blown. I gotcha.
I'm all excited. This weekend, we're recording this show on Friday. We got Tom Donaldson as our guest today. Talking about some cool stories, I think it's going to be fun. And we were just talking about, I'm taking the family after we do the show. Reagan's coming and scooping me up, and we're headed to Chapel Hill. Going to go eat dinner at the Angus Barn and see all the Christmas festivities.
There you go. I have heard of the Angus Barn. I've never been. Is this your first time? Did you go in school?
I've been before. I have never been during Christmas season when they decorated. Apparently, it's famous for its decorations and, considered arguably the number one steakhouse in the state if you read our state magazine and stuff. So it's cool. Humongous restaurant. Oh, my gosh. My kids are going to love it. They like a good steak. I don't know why. They're going to be heavenly. I told him I took him to school this morning. I said, don't eat a steak for lunch because we're going to Angus Barn tonight. I don't know how much your lunch budget is.
Man, that kind of thing, you don't even eat lunch. I think you just savor
I ate breakfast. I'm not going to do anything. I might get me a beef jerky dip on my way up.
Beef jerky dip?
You know, like dust.
I got you. That's
you eat some of that. Tom's like, yeah. TJ's like, you're not on.
We used to think we were so cool. Like at 10, 12 years old, you get the little beef jerky dip.
The problem is I get it. I got to hide it from my kids because if they find out about it, it only lasts like a minute and a half.
Yeah, you just dump the thing in your mouth.
But if I'm the only one that knows about it, I can only make it last like 5 minutes. And I'm like, man, I just spent $3.50 in 5 minutes.
Dude, that stuff's probably like $4.75 now. It's probably gone up.
Yeah, just like the real dip.
I don't think that's $4.75 now.
I don't know how much that is. I don't buy it. God bless. Either. I have other issues in my existence.
I don't either. It's funny. Like I remember in high school, people would think that dipping was cool, and I was one of those people. And then some new person would come and dip and accidentally swallow it. Mm. And it's like about 10 minutes. You're like, oh, you're going to feel pretty
well,
bad
I
about
play,
five,
I, I'm
10.
I'm going to get guilty conscience here. I played Legion baseball, and I was a sophomore in high school, and I played juniors and seniors on the team, and I looked up to them, and these guys were always chewing and dipping. This is a long time back when it was okay. And I said, let me have a little bit of that Red Man. It was pretty good. And I put that joker in, and I sat there, and I played third base. And I was I was a small guy in a big man's league. I played third base.
In a big man's position.
I promise you, if they had hit a rocket and hit me in the head, I would have died because I couldn't move. And I have never in my life tried that crap again. One time. Had no desire from that. You know, you hear people talking about that. They drank a beer when they were a kid and it was the worst thing ever. Did something like that. You know, I don't know.
I don't see. Do you must have? Did you swallow it?
I don't. I mean, I didn't plan on swallowing, and I don't know, man. I don't know the science behind that stuff. Maybe I was just a little scrawny fella.
I worked core aeration in the summer of college, and they put me with this guy that had been doing it for quite a while. He had a dip in. And I was like, well, give me one of those. Trying to fit in. The guy never would swallow. I mean, never would spit. He would just swallow it the whole time.
Oh, I know people that sleep with it in. Oh. Straight up. I knew a guy in high school, and this is terrible. He'd smoke cigarettes while he's dipping. His lip looked like what my dog gnaws on. It's not a good thing, kids. Don't do it. There's a reason the FDA's all over you about it.
It's terrible for you.
I mean, it's crazy. You see the cans, the whole thing's a warning. People still buying it because we're human. We have issues.
We ain't smart. Yeah.
So what are you doing this weekend?
Man, I'm not doing much. We're just hanging around the house.
I mean, the weather has turned. We're recording this a little. Y'all know we recorded this a little before.
It's gotten cold.
It's winter in Charlotte. I was wondering if Charlotte was ever going to have winter again. I was proven wrong.
Yeah, Scarlett looked out the window this morning. She's like, Dad, it looks like it snowed over there at that construction site across the street. I said, no, that's a sidewalk. She goes, oh, you're right.
They poured concrete last night at midnight.
It's real white, yeah.
They had to do it when it was cold. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm enjoying the cool weather, though. It's kind of hard to play golf. Makes your hands hurt.
Yeah, it does make your hands get dry after playing golf. This kind of weather.
So we got a world travel, world live, talking about his kids going all over the world. I think that's really cool. But he's an old Carolina boy. Met him originally through Phil Bushy over at Legion. They partner on some stuff and good dear friends, and then I hung out with another one of his friends the other day. I was like, you coming on the radio, cuz. Tom Donaldson return. Here's some good stories. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. Trent, I think TJ just tried to rupture my eardrums. He cranked that volume up, man.
He turned your knob up.
He turned my—I don't know if he turned my knob up. He's got a couple extra controllers back there than we've got, I think.
Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right, get a little closer to the mic.
I got to get closer.
There you go.
You got to coach it.
I mean, when you got the headset on, you should be able to understand feedback, relativeness.
I'd never underestimate what I don't understand.
Well, we've been here 8 years, so 52 times 8.
And we still don't understand.
8, 16, 24, 32, 40, about 425 shows.
Good grief.
Wow. That's impressive.
We were real danky at first. We were trying to read scripts. It wasn't good.
Now it's professional.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, just use that term loosely.
We enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, it's the one thing in how I've delegated my calendar that I have to do every week or, you know, move it around. But it's really cool because Patrick and I get to catch up a little bit and kind of gives us and even catch up in a social aspect.
Yeah.
And get to hang out with TJ and become dear friends. And then, I say this all the time, it's like speed dating. Yeah. I can hang out with somebody, a friend that's cool, got cool stories for 10 years. Every couple months we hang out and have a good time. But you come in here and you ask, you know, you hear stories.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about you, Trent, is that after a few months, there's plenty of stories to go back over.
So I will tell you, I have met people on the street and they hear me talk and they go, oh, I think – are you the guy on the radio? They hear my accent, I guess. I'm – distinguishable when I'm talking to the cashier at Bilo, and I'm like, yeah. They're like, how do you come up with that many stories every week? I'm like, I got a lot more.
I create them and when I'm not on the air.
Exactly.
These are the only ones that we can actually tell on the air. Exactly. You know what I mean? But there's not any others. We live a clean life. Everything's good.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I said, last night I met a mother and picked Rowan up. Rowan's great, my second daughter. And she said, yeah, thanks for putting up with my crazy daughter last weekend. They had a sleepover. And Rowan got in. I said, why should call her crazy? Because the daughter's really put together. And she said, well, I'm not crazy. You always call me crazy. I said, well, you are crazy, girl. Girl.
How's it going? You've got five now, right?
We got five.
Yeah.
And how about you?
I have four, but I just lost two, as we were talking about beforehand. But
where are they at?
I've got one in Spain studying abroad, and I've got one in boarding school in Denmark. And then I've got two at home.
Two at home. How old are they?
They're 12 and 14.
12 and 14. We need to get them together.
I know. Actually, I think my 12-year-old hangs out with one of your daughters occasionally.
We had that discussion,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah. I think they figured it out. We didn't figure it out.
Where do they hang out?
I think they have mutual friends from the language school or something.
Okay.
All of ours went through the local, it's called Sale now. It used to be called Waddell, but they went through the language program.
Kinsley Byram.
Exactly. That's who it is. Yeah,
and my kids are really good friends. Well, Bo Byram's been on the show. His show out. He's a Steel Creek legend.
Yep.
And his daughter Kinsley is friends with your daughter.
Kaya. Yep. That's right.
That's they need to hang out. We need to put it together purposefully.
Absolutely.
But definitely on the Christmas tree burning that we talked about, y'all put on your counter. I can't say the date because then all of Charlotte will arrive with every with every police officer and fireman.
They'll know.
Y'all.
They'll know when it happens. They'll know.
Such a great idea. Good
but,
use
but
of
as
Christmas
kids,
trees.
The cool thing about this night is it's all walks of my life come together for 40 years.
Yeah.
And tons of people bring their kids. So you got like 50, 60, 70 kids just
I love it.
Running around.
And a good use of Christmas trees.
It's a great use of Christmas trees. And some fireworks. I don't know
course.
If I live in North or South Carolina, so stuff it. So, Tom, tell us about where you grew up. Give us your story, man.
Well, like you, I'm from Charlotte. So I grew up, actually ended up in Matthews, but my parents are from Charlotte. I'm from Charlotte. Went to East Mech and went off to NC State for college and ended up in Denmark where I met my wife in Raleigh and then moved to Denmark and convinced her to come back to the States. Ended up in Philly for 3 or 4 years and then back to Charlotte. Of course, Charlotte's a completely different place from where we grew up.
Isn't it?
As you know. I mean, this whole area where we are, where you've got your world headquarters, I mean, it's just changing by the week.
I mean, by the day. You're right. Now, what'd you do in Philly? You said you were there for 3 or 4 years?
I was just up there for law school and MBA school.
Villanova?
Yep, Villanova.
I stalked you before the show.
Oh, nice.
Dang. Flattery.
Yeah, I know. You're the only person's ever looked at it.
I doubt that.
I did.
But, what made you – I was curious. I saw Villanova on your – what made you go up to Philly?
So
how'd you get there?
In order to convince my wife to come back to the States – I had a limited number of cities,
there
which were
go.
All large northern cities she wanted to be in. And so Harvard wouldn't let me in, NYU wouldn't let me in, so I ended up in Villanova, which ended up being a great school, really enjoyed it up there.
Yeah.
Fell in love with Philly, and at the time, never thought in a million years I'd come back to Charlotte. I had left an old, sleepy southern town and thought I was going to, you know, see the world or whatever, and came back and probably the smartest decision I've ever made outside of wife and children. But
yeah,
it was, you know, when you have a growing city like Charlotte, you got the wind at your backs, right? You can do no wrong if you just stay in the right lane. The growth behind you kind of keeps things on the right course. So
when did you return to Charlotte?
I came back in 2002.
Two.
So I've been back for 20 years.
So we're pretty, we're tracking. I got out of college in 2000, so about the same.
Yeah.
22 years.
So you were at Carolina in 95 through 99?
Yeah, 96 to 2000.
96 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We crossed paths. I was 95 to 99 at State.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure we shared some of the same friend network.
I'm sure. I'm sure we bumped into each other and sized each other up.
Well, at least we're the same height.
Yeah, exactly. You were the guy. I was like, I think I hang out with this guy.
I can actually might be able to take this guy.
Yeah. Your boy's looking at me, Shane. No. We used to come over to Raleigh a little bit. Miami Subs.
Oh yeah, man, that was a good spot. Yeah. Like, you played baseball down here too, right? You played Legion ball?
I played Legion in Charlotte.
What post were you?
I played 3 years. I played my first two at post 262 Charlotte at Myers Park, and then they started a Steel Creek team. So my last year, I played Steel Creek.
I thought 262 was Mint Hill.
Not out Charlotte, dog.
Really? I was out in Mint Hill, and I could have swore.
You were 262.
I was 262. That shows my memory. Like, wow.
So you played – we definitely – how many years you played Legion?
Four. I started
years.
Early. Yeah.
That
I
is
was,
amazing.
No, it was three. It was three.
I played three, and that was rare.
It was three. Yeah, actually, you're right. It was
Most
three.
People played two.
Yeah. Yeah, I was three.
I loved playing Legion ball.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's kind of gone by the wayside now with travel ball and stuff.
It has, yeah. Which that was about as competitive as you could get before, you know, minor leagues.
And what was really cool was the Legion men, the veterans,
yeah,
would come out and root their Legion team on.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
It was, yeah.
You have a couple old codgers sitting there, you know, living through baseball. It was great.
Well, the baseball fan base in Charlotte, especially back then, I don't know about now, but back then it was quite strong.
Yeah, it was. That was a good memory of my life. We struggled with travel sports with our kids and all that.
Well, I just finished it up, so I had years. Mine switched from baseball to soccer, and we were on all the travel soccer teams. I've got my weekends back, but you know, now it's like, well, hell, I don't have anything to do on the weekends.
And you build a network through it, right?
Exactly, yeah. You end up knowing. I actually found some great charities in Charlotte while we were doing it. I don't know if you've ever been involved with Creative Player Foundation.
I mean, I know of it.
I ended up getting involved in that through soccer. I mean, I didn't know anything about soccer, and next thing you know, I'm like very involved in that and what they give back to the community through sports, child athletics. It was
they're
fun.
Over here on the west side, Wilkinson Boulevard, right?
They're literally a few blocks away.
We're moving our range.
I was about to say,
my office is going to be in that building.
I know, but they're moving from that building to right behind where you are right now, that church.
Are they going to stay in the building?
They're going to use it until you kick them out. But,
I'm not kicking them out. I'm not kicking them out.
No, but, they're moving. So they've got these.
I know they built that new field.
Yeah, in that church, and so that's what they use for their after school program.
Great. Phil was telling me about it.
Yeah.
We need to have them on the radio show.
Yeah, we do need to have. I mean,
actually,
duh.
Yeah. Danielle, he's done great things for the community around here, and just an overall interesting person.
Do you know Mike Guggenheimer?
I don't believe so.
I'm trying to get him on the radio. He's a fellow YPO guy.
Okay.
But he's going to move in. We're moving down on Wilkinson, and he saw our building because he was going to Creative Player, and it's just funny.
I gotcha.
It's a really small world.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right, so you hang out with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, man, this is fun. Tom Donaldson, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent here with Tom Donaldson. If you don't know about Legion Baseball, go back and listen to our last segment.
That's why now it all comes together.
Now you're educated.
He's a partner in Legion Brewing. It's, oh, gosh.
And these two about got into a fight about what post you were in. Y'all had 262.
Hold on. We're not done.
Someone needs to Google that. We need to Google that.
Neither of us have very good memories, I'm guessing. So
you
ought
to see Tom and I resemble that. Getting a golf match. Neither of us are very good at golf.
But he's pretty competitive. Like,
and we like to talk a bunch of trash.
Yeah, but neither one of us try and find our balls, so it's still a quick game.
We definitely do. I mean, I'm playing yesterday. And
depends.
I saw the first three holes with these guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, out of this hole, guys, and I don't even bother me. I'm like, should this make me upset? Like, am I not ever going to get any better because I don't care? I think so.
Well, I think it's more about having fun and hanging out. And
it really is.
The competitive nature. But you said don't find your ball. There's been plenty of times where I'm looking for, like, my third lost ball because we're going to a battle at the end for a 9 or a 10, and that wins the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. So, Tom, you go to law school.
Yeah.
Villanova, what's your law degree in?
So I got my MBA as well as my law degree. So I came down as a lawyer at McGuire Woods, which is a big international firm. But I did a 10-plus year stint there, became a partner there. But I was doing M&A and corporate stuff, so – it was just a natural move to actually move to one of the clients, which was a hedge fund, and it was quite successful and took it over, and then we actually took over our sponsor and became really a large holding company. And unfortunately, my partner there passed away young, and after that, I moved on to start my own firm and moved it back to Charlotte. I was commuting all over kind of the U.S. at the time, but one of the important things we did with this firm is to make sure that we made a lot of our investments here locally, giving back to the community as well. But we invested in Legion, which has just done fantastic. So can't complain there. Phil Bushy is just an unbelievable leader.
I'm a Raven
fan. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, just being across the street. I mean, I don't know if he dropped that there knowing that he'd have however many Roby people that would be there pretty much every day for lunch. But, I mean, the beer's good and the food's good. I think they've done just a remarkable job.
Yeah, and it's another great Charlotte success story, really. Yeah. I mean, Legion from the ground up. So we're excited about what they have in their future.
That's great. Yeah. So what other focus is y'all?
So we're in the middle of a few of things. Biggest being we have a SPAC, which has become a bad word in this time, but we were doing it correctly and looking for a company that just needed to be public in a structured way. So we should be finalizing that merger in the next 30 days. That's probably taking up my last year. But that's in more of the entertainment and physical media distribution space.
And what does SPAC stand for our audience?
Same question.
Special Purpose Acquisition Company. So effectively is what you do is you conduct an IPO and bring in all the cash from the IPO and put it in trust. And then you go looking for a company, and that company merges into your company. They receive what's cash is in trust, and that operating company becomes a public entity. So it's instead of the operating business trying to conduct a typical IPO, they do it via a structured merger. And so it's an easier way of becoming public. Unfortunately, in the last 2 years, Wall Street, like they do oftentimes, kind of misused and abused that structure, brought a lot of companies public that probably should not have been brought public. But we're doing it the right way and are hoping to have a closing in the next
We talk about your partnership with Phil Bushy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all about people, right?
Absolutely.
As friends and as how do we grow, I got chill bumps talking about this. Like our budding friendship. Patrick, you know, has been in our company for 12 years. He's a partner in so many ways, and we'll figure out new ways, right? Tom Fink is public.
Absolutely.
Is your partner in the SPAC, right?
Yes, correct. And actually, as we always say, you don't invest in companies, you don't invest in products, you invest in people.
I mean,
and Tom Fink, you don't get much better.
Let
than
me
Tom
just
Fink.
Tell you, we know this
that.
Already.
Yeah,
but we did a really big home remodel. I met Tom through the recession of 2008, 2009, 2010, and when you work in somebody's house in trying times, you really get to know them and their family and who they are. There's not a better man than Tom Fink and his wife Heather, and just how they have five kids.
Yep.
And I had just had one kid, and I met him. I'm trying to sell this job to him, I don't know from Adam, and I'm like, I want five kids one day.
I feel inadequate. I've only got four. Yeah. So between the three
I only
of us,
have
we
one.
we have 14 kids.
You and I combined, we're in.
Yeah, I know, that's right. Yeah.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Right. Patrick Rounds held the 15th.
Oh,
yeah.
But no, congratulations on working together with Tom. And I talk about this a lot, like the internet age of the 90s, right? It grew up too big. And it blew up. They had dot-com bust.
Yep.
But the resilient ones that did it right survived.
Correct.
And it is a thing of the future. Crypto, you know,
yeah.
Coinbase currency.
Were you invested heavily in that one?
I got a little bit, but I think I picked the right team. We'll see how it plays out. I didn't want to miss the train if the train was going, you know.
You talk about Tom Fink too. The story you're talking about selling that job, he came on the show, and that was a pretty pivotal moment when that job was sold, right?
It was great. Yeah, so the things happened for a reason.
Go back and listen to that show.
But it
that
is
a good one.
Tom. He's been on radio once,
I believe.
I'm a big fan. I hang out with Tom, and then it's such a small world. If you hang out with the right people, you start hanging out with your buddy Matt that we went golfing with. Hang out with him. I mean,
he's got such a great British accent. I had that.
You think they'll be able to hear him if he comes on the radio? Like, that's Trent. That's Matt. That's Trent. That's Matt.
hey, one bloke. Sophisticated, one not.
That might be Australian. I don't know. So give me some other local investments you can talk about.
Well, I mean, we're excited about a few things we've been involved in, but most of the other ones have been outside of Charlotte. The software industry in Charlotte's done pretty well. We've been involved in a lot of service-based financial services companies. But that was probably most of my career has been based off of Charlotte's just growth and banking, financial service-related stuff, as probably most of the people you have on the show. But it's another sector that's pretty easy to invest in when you're in Charlotte.
It really is.
Yeah. The banks just keep on, even if they're not growing, they're spitting out people that are very very qualified into other industries.
Well, God bless the banks because they have driven our technology sector.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Who would have thought we would be talking a tech hub in Charlotte, North Carolina?
It's a tech hub.
Yeah.
And then I went to a YPO thing the other day at Atrium,
yep.
Kind of behind the scenes. It called ITB in the boardroom, and they were talking about the new Pearl,
which
is at Moorhead McDowell, and it's the partnership with Wake Forest School. And they said something like, out of the top 20 cities in the United States, we're the only city that doesn't have a medical school.
I think that's right. Isn't Carolina's coming in to partner up with CMC or something like that?
Wake Forest.
Is it Wake Forest?
Wake Forest. No, we're checking that box.
Okay. Now
it's going to be a medical school.
Yeah.
And it's attracting all these businesses, international businesses now. They were talking about, I think they unveiled one 2 days ago. They got another one. They're taking floors, and they're just giving us a platform.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with all the growth in Charlotte.
Hugh McCall said, he told my buddy, who he's real close to, he said, this is the biggest economic driver Charlotte has ever embraced since the airport.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean.
That's pretty strong.
And if you don't think Charlotte's airport is one of the main reasons we are who we are, then ask businesses why they move here.
So I wish I just knew some people in the general contracting industry that could really benefit from this.
I mean, I'm trying to ride the wave, dog. The big wave.
Wait a minute.
We were watching football last night, and I said, I got some buddies that went to Tulane. I'm rooting for Tulane, and my daughter's like, what are they, the tsunamis?
The green wave, man. Yeah.
I said, no, it's the green wave. Pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
So, Tom, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. I think the businesses that you people, businesses that you partner with and you spend your time with say everything about who you are and how you live. But what is one thing that you live by in both business and life that drives you, keeps your compass going the right way?
Actually, I think relationships is probably the biggest thing. And getting back to what you said earlier, choosing your relationships correctly end up sending you in bad or good directions, right? But I think wise relationships carry you down the right path, whether that be spiritual or otherwise. But my relationships have really been the driver of pretty much my life. And I was lucky enough to have some very good mentors early in my career. I don't know if you know John Fenerbrass, but John Fenerbrass took me under his wing when I was a young lawyer. And then my current partner, John Blystone, took me from there once I left the practice of law. And John Blystone's just been, very instrumental in my life. And those relationships have kind of carried me through. So I don't know about you, but you seem to have a good collection of relationships around you as well. So,
yeah, you always hear it's all, when you're reading the business books and you're young and all the successful men that are older tell you, it's all about who you know, not who you know, and you don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
And it isn't just like, hey, go find people that are successful or famous or popular.
Yeah.
It's when you really embrace people and you get to know them and you love on them, you get to see it work that way.
Yeah, I think who you know is kind of a misnomer. It's really about building the relationship and having some bridge there that really means something to both sides, and that's kind of...
Who do you really know?
Who do you really know? Yeah. That's right.
I agree. I saw a guy yesterday who's in the brewery industry at Carolina, and we text back and forth occasionally. I wasn't going to say his name. Sugar Creek, Eric Flanagan.
Yeah.
And it's like long lost buddy. I mean, if I see you, I'm like, dude, boom, we're gonna hang out. He's like, man, I'm anyway. And he's like, I can't stay. Then he's like, I can stay. And I'm like, I can't stay. But it's just I love seeing people like that. He's good dude. So thank you. You want to give a plug how people can look you up, or do you not care?
I mean, I don't care too much. But yeah, no, well, so our firm Blystone and Donaldson has done a lot in the local area and nationwide. But you can always look us up at BlystoneandDonaldson.com. But I think for the most part, I'm just glad to be on the show and be able to talk about what a positive experience I've had with you and your and the relationship with you and what Roby and companies are doing in the Charlotte community.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here. Godspeed to you and your business. I look forward to spending many, many, many days and hours together in the future.
Fantastic.
Hey, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
So, Patrick, are you going to go do some market research?
I don't know if I can this afternoon. I wish I would have known. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a market research.
I wish my wife really would have planned our trip to Chapel Hill better.
Oh, no. What do you do?
She's like, you're going to be, I think she asked me 12 times, you're going to be ready at 2. Make sure Christian gets her cake box back. Ready at 2, cake box.
So cake box 2. Ready at 2 and cake box. That's all you got to do?
Well, because our not-so-young adult group at church that Reagan kind of helps head up, I mean, just does some planning, that we had 32 people and some kids cook dinner at West Boulevard Ministries for
Bart Noonan
Wednesday night.
I saw that on LinkedIn. That was really cool. I was like, kind of flowing through, and I'm like, it's Reagan.
Yeah, for a bunch of boys.
Bunch of boys at Bart's crew.
Yeah, Westside boys. It was great. And they had a blast. She said it was very – I wasn't there. I had a YPO event. I was patronizing Legion. You're off the air.
There you go.
He's over here wanting to talk. He's biting into business like cat scratch fever
there
over here.
There you go.
You can't talk.
I did a little market research at OMB myself this week. Not Legion. I was near you, though.
Yeah.
It's a good spot. Hey, I forgot to mention when Tom was on the show that we've recently done some HVAC work for these guys. John Riley.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Hired us on. Thank you.
Wildcat honor. Gave us a chance. Great. And so we do good?
So he's got us going on. We got him on annual maintenance over there. So it's good stuff. We really appreciate that. That's awesome. And when Trent sent me John Riley's contact, it said John Wildcat Riley. And so does everybody call him? I had questions on that. Does everybody call him Wildcat?
Yeah, he's Wildcat. I guess because he's so feisty. Did he go to Kentucky?
Villanova.
He went to Villanova.
Man, that Philly connection. Yeah. Whoa, that's a subplay, man.
Dang, he put you back on the air because you can talk.
Oh, well, so everybody in the building was named John. So everybody other than John Blystone had to receive a nickname, and it stuck.
So in my fraternity, we had a bunch of Daves. Dave McGuire, our COO, I went to college with, they called all the Daves They called all the Daves Doug. We had long-haired Doug, skinny Doug, and Dave has such good personality. His name was Bob Doug.
Hey, listen, we were doing some research, and he needed a second name for a second phone number. And it was like, Dave goes, "We'll just do Justin McGuire, my middle name." I was like, "Nah, dog, it's Bob Doug.
It's Bob Doug. You're Bob Doug forever."
No one else has heard that before.
And he goes,
"Bob Doug."
He looks like he came from outer space. He goes, "Why do y'all call me Bob Doug?" Like, "Cause you're Bull from Night Court, man."
Poor Dave. He's
stop being so seriously funny.
he is gonna Bobby Boucher us both.
So Wildcat is because he's a Villanova Wildcat, and he's John.
He's John, but Wildcat
cool.
Stuck. Yeah.
Fraternity stuff carries on, don't it?
It does.
We had a guy that worked with us, and his name was John, and where he went to work, there was another John, and so he was Steven. And I didn't even know that was for the longest time.
Oh.
I didn't know for the longest time that his first name was John.
Steven, like, yeah, Steven yeah. was, and somebody,
he was like, there
together.
Was already, there
somebody,
was already
I've
a
known this guy for 25
years. 25
years. Like, good friends. Yes. And somebody calls him John. I'm like, am I getting played over here?
He's like, just stuck, man.
That's crazy. That's really crazy. So, no, you talked about working over at Tom's office.
Yeah.
That's where Phil Bushy's office is.
Yeah.
You got a little Holdco family of companies over there.
Exactly.
It's really a cool environment.
Yep, over off East Boulevard in the South End area, which is just exploding.
I'm going to call it an incubator of sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, you go in there and you got different types of people and talking and, you know, The vibe is good.
Yeah. Well, again, back to relationships. You can build some relationships just walking in the building.
The greatest thing about when I go over there and visit y'all, on my way out the door, I can jump the fence and get me some fried chicken from the gas station.
Best fried chicken in North Carolina?
Take it to the crib. I don't know. There's a gas station right at my house called Nichols. It's a Chevron station in Old Dowd and Wilkinson. It's got the best chicken wings in the world.
I think we have a competition ahead of us in this.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm a chicken wing connoisseur, man. He's talking about Moosehead. Bee stings are pretty darn. That's pretty good.
Bee sting is good.
Are you a Philly cheesesteak fan living here?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's one of my best friends is from real quick. There's a place called. Have you ever been to Cheats in Charlotte?
Yeah, it's actually very.
We
good.
Had it last Friday. Oh man, it was pretty.
I hadn't had it. I like Philly cheesesteak.
Pretty good.
All right. Thank you for listening. Listen, go have a wonderful day. Do the golden rule. Try to stay warm. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And your best smile when you see people. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.